So I know that Psalms is our verse, but I wanted to speak about two amazing men that emulated praise, that emulated praise in the heat. They emulated praise just in pain and suffering, and that was Paul and Silas. So if we can go to, it's out of Acts 16:25. So Paul and Silas had just set a girl free. She was the girl that was making money for the leader. She was a fortune teller, and she was telling fortunes and making these people a lot of money, a lot of money. And Paul and Silas saw that, and they're like, oh, no. And they came to her in the spirit of the living Jesus, and they cast that spirit out of her, that demon out of her that was making money. And the people that had hired her were very, very angry. And it says here that that this girl followed Paul and cried out. I do apologize. Why don't we jump to verse 25, 16:25. And it says here, but at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were already jailed. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So basically what happened, Paul and Silas were arrested, and they were put into a cold prison, into a dark prison. They were beaten, they were shackled, they had stocks on their feet and hands. So I don't know about you, but I know sometimes if I have a headache or if I'm too cold, if maybe we're camping or we're somewhere cold, I can't sleep, and it keeps me up. I toss and turn, or like if I have a lot of things on my mind, you know, I may say, oh, Lord, I give it to you, but I'm so kind of tossing and turning, and my mind is kind of going over it. Well, Paul and Silas were shackled in a prison. They were shackled. It was freezing. It was cold. It was probably dirty. There were probably rats running around, but yet what did they do? What did the Bible say? The Bible says they sang hymns. They sang praises to the Lord. They did not care. Those shackles were not going to shut them up. They were not going to shut them up. And I love how it said that everybody around them was watching them, and they praised the living Jesus. They did not care. So then here, after 25, it says here, so suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And I love that despite Paul and Silas' circumstances, they remained joyful. They just remained joyful. And they didn't care what was going on around them. They just wanted to make sure that their joy and their praise was being emulated to everybody around them. And I just think about us ladies, how when we're going through trials and we're going through things maybe in our family, we're going through stuff in our marriage or maybe financial, it's not only us, it's not only our spirit, it's not only our husband that is experiencing that. We need to have that joy. We need to have that praise always in our hearts, because we have little eyes watching us. We have our children watching us. We have our grandchildren watching us. And just what, I just feel that it's such a privilege. It's such a privilege and a promise that God has given us to have that praise in our heart, no matter what the circumstances. And, you know, I know it's easy for us to praise when we have X amount of dollars in our account. You know, it's easy for us to praise when things are going good with our children. You know, when things are going good on the job, you know, or when you have a full belly. I know for me, sometimes I can get grumpy when I'm hungry. And it's like, I just, like, you know, that's I guess that one Snicker bar commercial where the people turn into like a whole other person. But, you know, I say all that to say this, is that we need to be grateful and joyful and give praise in every situation, you know, in every situation. And I know that that's something that my husband Dennis and I, we really strive for, because not only do we have, you know, do we have a flock? Did the Lord give us a flock of people and sweet, sweet people? But we have our children. We have our two boys. And how are they, how is their faith going to be sharpened if they don't see my faith? If they don't hear me rejoicing and thanking the Lord, even when times are hard, you know, even we went through a huge trial a couple years ago. We lost my father-in-law. He was diagnosed in May. By July, he was gone. And that gave us absolutely no time to prepare, no time to just even to make it even settle in our hearts that, you know, Papito's gone. I mean, he's with the Lord, praise God, but it was really hard. But I just think that Dennis and I made a decision that we were going to keep trekking on. You know, yeah, we grieved, we did, but we had, you know, we have the church, you know, that is our ministry, and our family was our ministry. So, you know, and our kids, I really feel that the Lord really used that for our children. You know, they weren't really hit hard with it, you know, like I've seen some families, unfortunately, but, I just praise God for the peace that he gave us, you know, the peace that we're able to give to our boys. So, sorry, but those are like Paul and Silas. They were praising in the midnight hours. And I know a lot of you can sit here and can name a few midnight hours that have happened in your life. You know, those midnight hours of loss, of, you know, financial loss, or maybe marriage is not doing so well, or maybe a prodigal, you know. But I just love it because these are situations that we have to give over to the Lord. You know, we tell the Lord, my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. But I love how the Lord tells us we can choose to praise. We can choose to praise, ladies, and it is possible. It's something that I always tell my boys. I always tell them, you know, and I break it down. I said, if it wasn't in the Bible, it would not be possible. But the Lord acknowledges us, and he tells us to praise and to worship, to give thanks. And if that was not possible, even in the hard times, it would not be in the Word of God. And I praise God for his promises in the Word of God, because they are true. They are true. And we can bank on them. So we'll choose to praise, ladies. And I love that. And then in verse 25 here, it says that, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and all the prisoners were listening to them. And I just, you know, I know that the holidays are coming, and you know, are we armed? Are we ready? Are we ready for those family members that tend to corner us? You know, they tend to corner us. They want to know why we're always, you know, why do we spend so much time at church? You know, I know Dennis and I get it every year. This uncle, he just comes and he makes a beeline for Dennis. You know, Dennis is like trying to serve his food real quick and like trying to find a place to sit. You know, but I told Dennis, I said, no, why? We need to give a reason for the hope that we have. You know, we need to give a reason why we choose to be in the house of the Lord, why we choose to go to functions, why we choose to have our boys. It's not an option. Our boys play sports. They're in like little t-ball and stuff. But if there's practice, if there's something on Wednesdays or Sundays, they do not go. They don't go. They're in the house of the Lord. They're with their friends. You know, we really want our boys to see that Jesus is priority. All those things, you know, like we was telling you, seek ye first, and all those other things will be added. All those other things are going to take care of itself. The Lord will make sure of that. So so I love it here in 1 Peter 3. It says to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope we have, and do this with gentleness and respect. So, you know, ladies, we can get our point across, but we can say it with joy. We can say it with love, you know. So, and then in verse 26 here, it says that suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. So basically what happened, like the Lord just did just an amazing thing from the praise and prayer. Like the Lord set those prisoners free, but they did not want to leave. The Bible says they stayed put. And that one of the you know, one of the officers saw them and saw that they were loose, saw the doors wide open. And in those days, that meant absolute death for the, you know, guard or soldier. So, you know, and the Bible says that he wanted to just kill himself, fall on his sword and kill himself. You know, but I love how Paul tells him, you know, Paul says, no, we're okay. You know, he's shouting to him, we're okay. And I love that because it just brings me back to Daniel. You know how Daniel was supposed to be killed by the lions. You know, and all night, Darius, it said he just tossed and turned, probably couldn't sleep, probably had a bad stomach. you know, but what a blessing that in the morning he calls down into the pit and Daniel's like, I'm good, Darius. I'm right here. He was there with the lions, you know, just peaceful and, you know, not even harmed, not just sitting there probably petting the lions. And I love that, how God will always take care of us, ladies, no matter what. He will always take care of us. And not only us, he'll take care of our husbands. He'll take care of our children. There is the hand of protection, the hand of the Lord is a vast hand of the Lord. And he is so faithful, ladies. When we do our part, when we even do just a little part, the Lord will meet us even more than half. When we are faithful to the Lord and we continue to praise and pray, like I said, together, prayer and praise, they mirror each other. They mirror each other. And I know sometimes, you know, there are times where you just don't feel it. There are times where you're tired, you're upset. There's so much turmoil going on. You just don't have it in you. But you know what? That is the best time to praise. That is the best time to pray. That is the best time to say, you know what, Lord? And be real with the Lord. He wants us to be real with him. Lord, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like praying for my husband. I don't feel like praying for my wayward child. I don't feel like praying for that irritating coworker. You know, that person that's always pelting you with questions, pelting you with accusations, and putting you down, that family member that just seems to say the right thing to get under your skin. That's when we have to pray, ladies. That's when we have to put on the armor of God in Ephesians. Put on the armor of God and just go for it. And you know what? You will be the blessed one for it. You will be the one whose shackles are going to break off. Your prison doors are going to be wide open. I guarantee you. I know it because I've experienced it. I've experienced forgiving somebody. I've experienced going and humbling myself and asking for forgiveness. And that freed me. Not only receiving, but giving also. But I love here that it says that they knew that the result of their praise, he caused the keeper's eyes to be open. And there was not a denial that a miracle happened. And what happened here, salvation, the Bible says, the word of God says here, salvation came to the prisoner, to the prison keeper, and to his family. So not only was the prison keeper saved, not only did the prison keeper fall on his knees, but his family too. He had that fire. And ladies, that fire, let it radiate in your heart and let that spread to the rest of your family. You know, if you've been quiet up until now, and if you've been a little shy or you feel like you don't know, go to the Lord. You ask him to show you the word, to start giving you that boldness, to giving you that righteous boldness. Because ladies, I tell you, things are not going to get better. They're not going to get better. You know, that's nothing to fear. That's nothing to say fearfully or to cringe away. But that should spur us on to become stronger. That should spur us on to lock our armors together. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, the time of tearing each other down, you know, looking at other churches or this and that, those days are over. Those days are done. The Lord is calling us now to seriously, girls, put your armor on. Put your armor on. And not only that, you arm your children too. You arm your children. And I went to the Christian bookstore. We bought our boys a little plastic, little armor of God. You know, I said, Lord, my boys are going to know. When they go to school, you know, right now they're in public school. They're in kindergarten and first. But boy, man, I went to the Calvary Chapel Marietta and bought them all the t-shirts I could. I bought them. So they're, oh my gosh, their little t-shirts, they go to school evangelizing, you know, and they don't even have to say anything. They just have their t-shirts with scripture, things about Jesus. I do not care. I told my husband, I do not care. I dare them to call me and to question myself. I do. That's what I told my husband. I said, you let them call me. You let that office call me. But they know. The office ladies, you know, they know. Dennis and I aren't ashamed. And our boys aren't ashamed either, ladies. And I just really want to encourage you, really want to encourage you just to let that strength and let the power of the living God radiate out of you. Radiate out of you. You have it in you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. The enemy is a liar. He's a liar. There are so many gifts and talents in each and every one of you, but we're not going to know them. We're not going to tap into them. We're going to cringe away and say, oh, I can never do that. Yes, you can. You can get a guitar in your hand and worship. You can get a microphone in your Bible and speak to anybody. You have it in you. There's tons of gifts and talents here. Crocheting, cooking, whatever. Use those talents unto the Lord. You know a mama just had a baby? Cook something up. Even if it's a little Campbell casserole, cook it up. You know, there's a death in the ministry, death in the family. You know, crochet a blanket. You know, if you have the gift of encouragement, pick up that phone. Pray for somebody. I guarantee you there's somebody that will always benefit from the gifts of God. And I love that Paul and Silas, they made sure that their gifts and talents were being used, whether people wanted to hear it or not. Whether people wanted to hear it or not, they're like, we're going to sing in praise and you're all going to hear us. So that's what I love. But I love here that when the magistrates found out that the prison that Paul and Silas were out, I could just imagine. They were probably angry, but you know what? The anger probably turned to fear. They turned to fear. Because there's no denying. When God does a miracle, when God moves and shakes a situation, moves and shakes a non-believer that you would have never thought was ever going to be saved, people listen. And people are going to know that this was a miracle. This is that God is someone to not mess around with. So I love here how the magistrates, they wanted Paul and Silas to just go in peace. Here, let's just get him out. And Paul's like, no. Paul said, no. You put me in here. We're not going to go. And he told the prison guard, if we're going to go, they're going to come and get me out. They're going to come and get us. So not only did Paul and Silas, were they freed, but they ended up staying. They ended up staying because they knew their time was not quite up. And that's what I love about it. And then here, I love how in verse 37, it says here, but Paul said, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, Romans, and have thrown us into a prison. And now they want to put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come and get us out themselves. So I love that. I love the fearlessness. I love the fearlessness of Paul. And, you know, it's just that he wasn't going to back down. He wasn't going to be, you know, he wasn't going to just go quietly, basically. So I love that. And, you know, and that just shows you that standing firm in our beliefs, ladies, and our faith, it doesn't mean that we give a prayer of praise and then we wrap it up. That means that we keep praying, we keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking until we get that breakthrough. There is no other way, ladies, that you're going to see the hand of God work in such a mighty way if you just kind of say a blanket prayer. But you know what? The word says to be specific in our prayers. Be specific in your praying. I know sometimes there'll be times where I'll just be praising, you know, praising in my car, whatever, and all of a sudden, like, it'll turn to prayer. I'll just start praying. And then all of a sudden, the Lord will just start bringing all these situations that I heard about maybe a couple months ago that I completely forgot about. People that have been sick, you know, maybe people, you know, needs that I've heard and just like that maybe we prayed about a couple times at church and then kind of maybe forgot about, the Lord will always bring it back, will always bring it back. But I wouldn't be able to be in tune with the Spirit unless I was praying and praising the Lord, unless I was tapping into that special source. There would be no way. So I just love it. And I also love, too, that the Lord loves it, ladies, when we say the word back to him. The Lord loves it, and it's not a disrespectful thing. It's reminding the Lord, God, this is what your word says. Lord, this is what your word says. He loves that. He loves that. And I think that is the ultimate step of faith for us, is beginning to just tell the Lord his word, to speak his word. And I think that just shows God that we're reminding him, that we didn't just read the word and then just like, okay, you know, like if you... The Lord loves it. Like if you have a prodigal, in Proverbs 22:6, you tell the Lord, Lord, you said in Proverbs 22:6, if I train up a child, and I've done that, Lord, so now I trust you. You're going to bring that prodigal back. Or Lord, my children are not going to walk away from the Lord. I pray for that for my two boys every single night, ladies. Every single night. I try not to forget every single night. When they're asleep, I just, because they sleep in bunks, but they like to both sleep on the bottom bunk, so they're both right there, they're both still little, but I just pray over them, ladies, and I just say, Lord, I pray that you make their gifts and talents evident to them now at 5 and 6. It's never too early, ladies. It's never too late, ever, ever. It's never too soon. And I love that. And then for a troubled marriage, you can tell the Lord, you said that you make everything beautiful in your time. Lord, things are chaotic right now. Our marriage is in turmoil. He's on one end. I'm on this end. Our kids are in the middle. Lord, what are we going to do? But I love it that in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he does say, I will make everything beautiful in my time. Beautiful. Not always perfect, but he will make it beautiful. And that is a prayer, and that is a rock that you can definitely, definitely stand on. And then healing, Lord, you healed the blind, you healed the lame, and you brought life where there was none. You can do that for them, you can do that for me. And that is just, that is something that, honestly, that I stood on for 11 years. 11 years when we were waiting for our little baby Noah. My womb was dead. I had nothing going on in here, absolutely nothing. Doctor said I was normal. The doctor said my husband was completely normal. We were completely normal. We were unexplained infertility for 11 years of our marriage. And the Lord did it. He brought life where there was none. There was no life. There was no life in my womb. And the Lord just said one day, okay, it's time. But it took my faith. It took my prayer. It took perseverance. It took a lot of good sisters going in the trenches. In the trenches with me. When I'd be crying, having to leave baby showers, trying to stay as long as I could, there'd be that one sister to call me. How are you doing? I noticed you left early. Are you okay? But they were in the trenches. The Lord would anoint different women, different girls in my life, use different circumstances in my life to let me know, Michelle, keep your faith going. Keep it going. Keep your faith. Keep that fire going. Keep that fire going. And God is so faithful. He's so faithful because I can look at my little Noah, who's now 6. He's getting tall now. But I can look at him and Nehemiah and look at both of them and say, these boys proclaim the work of the living God. If I didn't know Jesus, I would not have my babies. I can guarantee you. Because Jesus did a mighty miracle and a work. Not only in my marriage, but in my body. And that's why I say when it comes to healing, I say, Lord, you did it for Hannah. Lord, you did it. You did it for Abraham and Sarah. You can do that for me. I'm no different. I'm your daughter too. You love me. So that's why I just think God is so faithful and he's not a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. You know, if you're feeling stagnant in your walk, you can say Ezekiel 37:1 and how God says he will cause the dry bones to come alive. He will cause those dry bones to come alive. And there's a Lauren Daigle song, if you ever want to Google it, or Pandora, it's called Dry Bones. I really encourage you to listen to it and to listen to the words because there are so many seasons in our life where we can become stagnant, where we can, oh, been there, done that. Oh, I've listened to that study. Oh, I've read that verse. No, God calls us to always be alive, to always be hungry, to want more. Okay, so we've heard that passage, but you know what? There will always be something different in there that God wants to pull out for you, specifically for you. What God is going to show someone, he'll show someone else something completely different. And that's what I love about the Lord. That's what I love about the Word. There's always gifts in here for us, ladies. There's promises. There are promises that we can stand on and trust and know they're going to come to pass. Maybe not in our timing, maybe not the way we thought it was going to happen, but they will come to pass. And I can guarantee you, I am living proof of that. And then, you know, confused in Psalms 32:8. You know, if you don't know, Lord, do I take this job? Lord, do I go back to work? Is it time for me to step out of work? Lord, should I homeschool? Should my kids go here? Lord, should my husband and I Lord, should I get married? Is this the man? Is this the one? You know, Lord, I want to get involved in this ministry, but I'm not really sure that I'm not really sure if I'm supposed to be here or there. What does the Bible say in Psalms 32:8? He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. Done. What a promise, ladies. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. And what does the Bible also say? That when you don't know where to go, there will be a voice in the back telling you, this is the way, walk in it. To me, that is the most beautiful, beautiful promise that God, the God of the creator of the heavens and earth, is right here and telling me, no, Michelle, go this way. No, Michelle, go this way. And ladies, I know a lot of you here have heard the voice of the Lord. And things have been spot on, right? Things have been spot on. Lord tells you, for some reason, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I just need to call you. And that sister or that family member just needed you right then and there. You know, just needed that. And, you know, I love how the Lord has given each and every one of us that level of faith, that level of praise. And ladies, I just really want to encourage you just to tap into the Holy Spirit's power. You know, if you're confused, if you don't know what to do, if you are scared, if you just unsure in life, just ask the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to just enlighten you and to strengthen you and power and just empower you. Because we can't do it. We can't do it alone. The colleges aren't going to do it for us. Workplace isn't going to do it for us. Our husbands, as godly as they aren't going to do it for us. You know, we need to be there for our husbands. We need to be there for our children. We need to be strong warriors. Gone are the days of the weak woman. I know for me, I want to be that support for my husband. I want to be that godly mother as much as I can. I'm not saying perfect. I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about being a Paul and Silas. To have that praise to ever be on our lips, ever. No matter what, I will bless the Lord at all times when I'm not feeling good, at all times when I'm upset, at all times when things aren't going right at home, at all times when things are unsure at work, at all times with this whole presidency thing. My husband and I just said, we just give it to the Lord. We were really quiet. The Lord showed us a different, we just prayed. We chose not to get in the Facebook fire and just all that nonsense. That just grieved us. That just really grieved us. And we just prayed. We just said, Lord, we're just going to trust you. The Lord knows. Anyways, what does the Bible say in Revelation? He wins. The Lord wins. We can take that to the bank. And, I was finishing up here. I remember in the early 2000s, and probably you guys have seen it, that one infomercial for that like slow cooker, the slow cooker, the set it and forget it. You remember where the man would put all this like 3-course dinner, and then you just put the little timer on, and then it shows a lady leaving, coming back like 7 hours later and have this like beautiful, yummy meal. I was cracking up because when I was typing everything out, like the Lord just brought that principle to me. And it's like, that's what prayer and praise is. We give our petitions to the Lord. We give our cares, our concerns, our worries, our fears. We give all that to the Lord. We just set it and forget it. We give it to the Lord because prayer and praise are like that nucleus. It's like that core. Prayer and praise are in the middle. And all these other avenues that are coming out of it, family, marriage, ministry, finances, future, future grandchildren, whatever it is, prayer and praise are going to be the nucleus that is going to fortify and is going to feed all those areas, ladies. It's going to give you direction. It's going to give you direction by the Holy Spirit's power. But if we're not tapping into that source every day, we're going to be making choices in and of ourselves. We're going to be making choices according to our emotions, according to our fears, our feelings, you know? And so I just really want to encourage you ladies to just stay faithful and just know that the God who promised is faithful. He is so faithful. And like I said earlier, he will meet you not halfway, even more than half. He will just honor that praise and prayer all the time. And he is such a faithful God. And my husband and I'm telling you, like I said, we can testify to the Lord's faithfulness to making something out of nothing, you know, for healing our marriage and for healing my body to be able to be blessed with two beautiful children. And it's just, I just chose to praise and pray. Even in those times that it was so difficult, even in those times where I did question the Lord, you know, but I said, Lord, no, this is wrong. Just stoke up my faith again. And he did. And I was like Paul and Silas, you know, nope, I'm going to stay in praise because I want everybody to know what my God did. And ladies, I promise you, when you have that fruit and you have that overflowing water of life, everyone around you will partake of it, and everybody will know she has been with Jesus. She has been at the Lord's. Your husbands will know. I mean, that to me, that's huge. I don't care. It's just as long as my husband, my family know that their mama has been in the Word, and I have something to give to my family. I don't just have Michelle. I just don't have mama. I just don't have a wife. But I have the Spirit of the living Jesus to give. Ladies, that's all we need. That's all we need. That's all our friends need. That's all our family needs. That's all the church needs. That's it. If you're teaching Sunday school, that's all your children need. If you're in the women's ministry, that's all the ladies need. Just give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. That's all they need, and praise and prayer. So I just want to thank you, and just really want to encourage you ladies just to always, always have praise on your lips. Always. And just watch the Lord move in so many mighty, mighty ways. And just stay firm. To stay firm and just to stay in your Word. This is our lifeline. This is our map. This is our map. This is going to lead us and guide us. This is going to give us the tools we need in our life for every single situation. There are promises in here that we can stand on, and they're true, and they're faithful, and they never fail. They never fail. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just want to lift up every single beautiful lady here, Lord, and Lord, even some of the men here, Lord, and just ask, Father, that, Lord, you would just continue just to love them. Just continue, Lord, to just lead them and guide them, Father. Lord, as we press into you, Lord, even more so now, Lord God, more than ever, Father, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord, in our lives. We need you in our families. We need you in our schools, in our nation. Lord, we need you in our churches, Lord. Father, I just pray right now, Lord God, that we would just stay focused on you, Lord. We would stay focused on your promises. And Lord, that nothing else will do. Lord, that we would never, ever settle, Lord, for imitations. We would never, ever settle, Lord, for mediocrity. Lord, we would not become stagnant. Lord, I just pray just a special blessing, Lord, for refuge, Lord God, just for Bettina and Raul, Lord, and their whole family, Lord God, just such family that they are to us, Lord, and to our church family also. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this market night, and Lord, just that much fruit would just come out of it, Lord, and everybody would just have a blessed time. And again, Lord, we just want to lift our praise and prayer to you now, Father, and just ask, Lord God, that you would just move mountains, Father, and just, Lord, make us on fire. Set us afire, Lord, for you. Let us be passionate women, Lord, passionate women at your feet. We love you and thank you in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.